Episode 136 of Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world manage risk and seize opportunities. Learn more at futuresfundamentals.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hello, everyone. Before we get started today, I want to thank all of our sponsors. CME Group, Top Step Trader, and Trading Technologies. With TT, you can trade the global markets from virtually anywhere. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. Create your account and try it now free at tryttnow.com. Today I spoke with a man who was the first CFO for Trading Technologies. He then went on and became the COO of a hedge fund. After many years of success in the financial industry, he went on to start his own company that helps traders and other professionals in all industries improve their mindset. His name is Russ Rausch, and he is the founder of Vision Pursue. Russ and I talked about the importance of the pursuit of your happiness and not settling for a job that you are unhappy with. We discussed how Vision Pursue measures a person's performance mindset, and Russ breaks down the symptoms of having an average mindset. I have to say, this really hit home with me because I've worked extremely hard on improving my personal mindset weaknesses over the years. Russ talked about creating brain balance and finding the answers internally. We then got into some practices that you can work on to improve your mindset. Finally, since Russ works with professional athletes in the NFL and Major League Baseball, I decided to discuss the similarities and differences between traders' mindsets and professional athletes. In all of my years as a trader, I always felt that the most important asset I had was my mindset. I felt there was no substitute for a good mindset. And I truly believe that the best traders in our industry can trade any type of strategy as long as they have the proper mindset. Now, I am taking a challenge by working with Vision Pursue for 60 days after this episode airs. And I am going to pay for the first five traders that email me info@futuresradioshow.com telling me that they want to be involved. And after 60 days of those five traders going through the same program on Vision Pursue that I am, I'm going to have them on Futures Radio Show to sit down and speak with Russ and I and to see how it has benefited us. Russ is an awesome guy who is doing something I think the world really needs a lot of, improving mindset. I guarantee you will love this show. As always, thank you all for listening and please enjoy this episode. Russ, welcome to the show.
Hey, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
It's great to be with you today, Russ. Now, I was introduced to you a little while back, and then I went to your site, and I have to say I was truly impressed by how many top professionals went to your website, Vision Pursue, to improve their mental toughness. We had players from the White Sox, all other players in Major League Baseball, the NFL, financial companies, universities, and the list really goes on and on and on. And in futures trading, your mindset, at least in my opinion, is everything. I mean, I know a lot of people talk about the charts, they talk about the fundamentals, and I have been talking about mindset for many, many years as the number one asset you have as a trader. And I have spent more time working on my mindset than any other aspect of my trading because I know from experience that is the most important aspect of what I do in my trading business. So we're going to get into that a lot today. But before we begin talking about mindset and other great topics we have for you today, I want to know how you got your start in the industry, because you have a very interesting background. You've worked for financial companies in the futures industry before technology, and I want to know how you went from working for these major companies to then starting Vision Pursue to improve mental toughness. So give us your background and then talk to us about the idea to start Vision Pursue.
Yeah, great, Anthony. So, you know, I came to Chicago in 1998 to work for Trading Technologies from Denver. I was in Denver, Colorado at the time, and I got a call from Gary Kemp, who was the founder of TT, and I became the CFO there early on when there was 20-some people there. And so I was there for that growth all the way through 2011 is when I left. So from 20-some people to over 600 employees, and that growth sort of in Asia and Europe, et cetera. So that's how I got into the trading industry and into Chicago. And from there, I went to the, and by the way, I did several things there. CFO, head of global support, head of global buy-side sales. And when I got into buy-side sales, I really took an interest in the hedge fund world and ended up taking the job of chief operating officer at Emil Van Essen, a CPA in Chicago. So, you know, that's how I got into, you know, our industry, the trading industry. So I have never traded, but I've always been around the technology and the operations and the fundraising, et cetera, around it. And how I transferred from that to Vision Pursue was really when I was at TT, really about 10 years ago, I guess. I remember very vividly sitting in my office and thinking, you know, I had done pretty well compared to what I expected to do. Small town kid out of Kansas, first one to go to college in my family. And sitting in my office, I was making pretty good money and in a good industry, and the company was succeeding. And having this feeling like I was very dissatisfied, not very happy. And, you know, what's the point of doing all this if you're really not enjoying it? It wasn't that I had major problems with anybody at TT or in my personal life. It's just sort of this general dissatisfaction and wondering, you know, what, you know, what's it all about if it's not, doesn't feel that good when you sort of succeed. So that's what really started my whole journey of, and, you know, at the time also I was friends with Chris Getz, who played for the Chicago White Sox and later got introduced to Scott Fitzednik. And we used to have sessions of just theorizing, especially me and Chris. And when I started figuring out these guys felt the same way I did, that was really perplexing to me. How could somebody who was really living their childhood dream sort of have the same life experience? So that took me on this journey of why are so many people really not having a great life experience? And what that led me to is a trail of, it's not external, it's not what's happening in the external world, it's happening, what's happening internally in your mind, and, you know, what we now call mindset through Vision Pursue, which, you know, the simple way to say it, you know, what is mindset and what's Vision Pursue all about? Mindset is the way our brain is automatically interpreting the external world and experiencing the external world. So you could have 10 people that have the exact same experience and have 10 different internal experiences or sets of emotions around that, not based on what happened, but based on the way their brain is experiencing what happened. And so when I started learning these techniques, it was life-changing for me in terms of the way I was experiencing the world, but also it's really affected my performance in a positive way as well. So happier at home, happier at work. You know, and I thought this is pretty magical. And the way my brain worked was, you know, if this worked for me, this could work for other people. I don't really know anybody who's talking about these things. And so I decided I would try to make it into business if I could. So that's how I Vision Pursue got started, going from the trading industry.
Yeah, no, I find that to be very interesting. Now, a couple of things. First, I want to comment on you leaving a full-time successful job to go and starting your own business. You know, we'll call it your pursuit of happiness. And I think that a lot of traders out there can probably relate to that by having a full-time job, making good money, or at least, you know, enough money to pay the bills, and then wanting to be doing something else. Like a lot of people that are in businesses, they want to become traders. Like I said, it always sounds better than it is on paper. They don't realize it's probably going to be a lot more work than they're doing, but nonetheless, it'll make them happy and it's what they want to do. They feel like, you know, that's where they're going to be happier. And it's very hard to take that leap from leaving that job to starting your own business. So I commend you for doing that. And then doing something so successful. And that's really what's impressive about this, is because you're dealing with really high-end professionals, as we've talked about already. you know, like we said, major league players, NFL teams, head coaches, and you're talking about helping them with their mindset. And these are some of the toughest mindset people in any industry. So I want to talk to you about your training. You call it performance mindset. So first, I'd like for you to define what that is. I mean, when you say performance mindset, talk to us about what that actually means, like how you're measuring the performance of each person's mindset.
Yeah, so, you know, like I mentioned earlier, we define mindset as the way someone's experiencing the external world. And the way we measure that, it's kind of interesting, because if you ask somebody, how are you doing, you could get a lot of different answers. But we like to ask the question, how do you experience a typical work day? So from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, if you had to break your typical day into four categories, how would you do that? And we've surveyed, you know, over 1,000 people with this survey, mostly high performers, but kind of runs the gamut, including a lot of professional athletes, a lot of professional coaches, successful people. But anyway, here are the four categories. How much of it is stressful and annoying? How much of it is not quite that bad? It's monotonous, though. It's sort of a means to an end. I'm doing this not because I want to, because I need to do it to get what I want. And then the third category we call escape or shutdown, which is because I'm sort of stressed out from and all the monotony and annoyance, I need to drink or watch TV or do social media. Not that we're saying there's anything wrong with doing that, but it's the concept of, man, I just got to shut it down and have a drink and watch TV or whatever. So those first three categories, stress and annoyance, monotony and escape, in our survey, I don't know if, you know, as you heard me say that, Anthony, I don't know how that added up for you. But for most people, the average is over 80% built up those three categories. So stressful and annoying, monotonous, and escape, over 80% of a typical day. And so what that leaves then is less than 20% that you actually feel good when you're not doing some sort of escape activity. And that was exactly how I felt. You know, my statistics were even a little worse than that. That's how I was experiencing a typical day. And so what we're saying is, the untrained mind, the automatic brain, is going to experience life in a typical day sort of that way until you train it for most people. And so that's how we measure where mindset's at. And we track that once a month as people go through our training in our app to see if we're moving the needle on how much they feel good in a typical day versus those other categories. That make sense?
Yes, it does. Because it really hits home with me, because it's funny, I'm going to talk about a conversation I just had with one of my trader friends the other day, and this relates to also going back to me starting Futures Radio. I was having a conversation with him. We were looking at charts in the morning, reading the news, did all of our homework, up early, did everything. Market gets quiet, you have nothing to do. What are you going to do? And he just kind of make a joke. He's like, well, all there's left to do now is drink and eat. And really, a trader's life, a majority of the time you're waiting. And that was one of the things that really was stressing me out. I'm kind of type A where I'm, you know, I need to be doing something, and filling that void throughout the day was hard. Then I find myself over trading, or I find myself doing something not productive. And I'm just like, you know what, that's why I felt when I had moved to Florida, I need to do more. And then once again, I started focusing on other things, specifically Futures Radio Show. And I have to say that my life has become so much better, because now I really have balance between when I'm trading, I'm looking at the markets, I'm focused on that. When I'm done, I have something else to focus on and do. And it's helped me all around, not only as a person, it has helped me as in my trading business, because I've been able to fill that void with what I feel is productivity. And I'm sure we could probably talk about me all day and some of the issues that I have, but I want to talk about balance a little bit, because I just kind of touched base on myself. Like for me, I have a very specific routine. I wake up, I focus on trading right away in the morning, and then I have a lunch, and I probably work out, and then I focus on Futures Radio Show in the afternoons. And I just continue to like do specific things on a day in, day out basis, specific workouts on specific days. I play golf on specific days. I'm, you know, a creature of habit. And that has helped me, because I know when to work hard and I know when to separate work from my personal life. So I want to know if you can explain the elements that changes a person's mindset, and how you're helping professionals create what you call brain balance?
Yeah, I'd love to explain that. And by the way, I want to add a little bit to the way we measure mindset too. There are a couple of things I forgot that are very important, which a lot of people experience. So one is, do you have to read things two or three times because your mind's wandering? When you go home and to be, you know, with your family, probably who you want to be with the most, those of us that have families, is it hard to be present because your mind's wandering back to the markets or work or whatever you're doing? And is it difficult to sleep? You wake up, you know, at 4 a.m. with your mind racing about what has happened or what's going to happen. And a lot of people, you know, I read this the other day. I was surprised to see it. It was Monster.com, I think, is who it was, did a survey of how many people get what they call the Sunday afternoon blues, which is a mini depression on Sunday afternoon because they're going to have to go back to work. And so I experienced all of that, Anthony. You know, had to read things two or three times, couldn't be present at home, had trouble sleeping. Sunday afternoon sort of had this pit in my stomach. You know, I sort of thought I was the only one, but this is so common for most people because of their mindset. And so, you know, to answer that part of your question, how do you create the mindset? You know, what's really was hard for me to understand is it is a total internal thing, not an external thing. Because we're so focused on if I can get the right schedule or get the right job or have the right romantic relationship or get my health where I want it, any of those things, and I'll feel better. And what we find, and I certainly find this when I work with professional athletes who are living their dream, making a lot of money, they're popular, you know, people love them, you know, everything we think we want, you know, they certainly don't have problems getting romantic relationships. Kind of everything we think can make them happy, they end up with very similar mindsets to what we have in terms of how they experience a difficult day and those other things I talked about. So the way to get there, to answer your question, is it's an internal job. It's an inside job, not an external job, which is hard to get through your mind. But there's a really cool TED Talk called My Stroke of Insight with Dr. Jill Bolte-Taylor. And it's a really well, you know, highly watched TED Talk, and I encourage everybody to watch it. But what she talks about is she lost the analytical part of her brain. She had a stroke and lost that entire left hemisphere of her brain, the analytical part of her brain. And it took it 8 years to recover. But during that time, when she didn't have this thinking analytical mind that we use in business and trading, which serves us well and is super important, but what was it like? What did she experience when she didn't have that? And she described the experience as nirvana, total peace, euphoria, kind of everything we want to experience, because she had shut off that thinking part of her mind and she was only connected to the experiential part of her mind. Now, she fully recovered. And by the way, when she was having this experience and she had lost her analytical mind, she couldn't function as a human being because couldn't use language or think what she was going to do today or figure out how to do it, but she had an amazing experience. So brain balance then is to be able to use both sides, to use the experiential and the analytical parts of our intelligence at the same time. And really what we're trying to do is connect all of us analytical thinkers to this experiential part of the brain through a series of mental exercises. And that is going to change the way we perceive the external world. That makes sense?
It does, totally. I'm so engaged in listening to this because I really find how much you're describing of some of the issues that I've had. And just to talk personally about myself, you named those four things. You talked about, you know, not being able to get enough or not being able to sleep, not looking forward, or maybe that Sunday afternoon blues. I didn't have either one of those. Fortunately, I didn't have that to work with, but I did have, and I still struggle with this, is the ability to go home and to get engaged. Although I feel like I've done the right amount of balance, I feel like cell phones, you just have to put them down. That's kind of where, like, you'll sit there, you'll have it in your hand. I'm not really on my phone a lot during the day. I'm on my computers, but then I'll be at home talking to my wife and I'm sitting there finding myself looking at the phone. I have that as an issue. And to this day, I feel like I've gained a lot of ground in where I want to be, but I'm not there. And meditation is one of those things that has helped me. So, I mean, I know that we went off on a little bit of a tangent here. If you want to bring us back into to what your thoughts were, I just like talking about the way I'm feeling listening to this, because I just find it to be so interesting. And I know that like I need help in this area as well.
No, also I appreciate it, Anthony. And like, you're not alone. And you know, all that stuff I talked about, that life experience was everything I was experiencing, you know, and as me and my partners go out and train people, we just see it everywhere. It is completely normal. Most people are feeling this way. We just don't talk about it. And it's also so normal, it doesn't look unusual. It looks very usual.
Yeah.
And so anyway, you know, what can really balance the brain? There's four main things that our training does. And we have a commercial training. So when we work with like the Atlanta Falcons or the San Francisco 49ers or CME or Mizuho, our different customers, we go out and do a group training with people, and then we have the app that goes with the training with our commercial clients, but also consumers can get the app as well. But here are the four elements. The first one we call life paradigm. Really what that means is what is your primary focus? Like, what are you focused on in terms of what you think your life's about? And for most of us, we've been conditioned on trying to get results. And we think about, you know, this is where I am. This is the money I have, the health I have, the marriage I have, or the romantic relationship I have, or lack thereof, or whatever my life situation is. And then we have a set of these other things that we want to get in the future. And we call this the A to B paradigm, which is A is where I'm at now, B is where I want to go. You know, which makes some sense, right? I want to go to college. I want to get a job. I want to do this. I want to do that. And so our conditioning tells us that B is where it's at. So I don't really like A. A is a means to an end so I can get to B. And when I get to B, I'm going to be happy. The problem with that scenario is it really overvalues B and creates A as a means to an end. So what that does, you know, life's happening right now, that becomes a means to an end. My happiness is going to be somewhere in the future, might be. Problem is, when you get to that B, and all of us have hit B's, that scenario shifts again. That now becomes my A, and my B shifts out to the future again. So we keep chasing these future results, thinking that's going to make us happy, even though it's never worked in our whole life. And again, it's cool getting exposed to professional athletes. And My main business partner on the training side is John McGraw, who played in the NFL for 10 years. And so he knows this scenario well, but guys living their, and women living their childhood dreams and not being happy because of this concept, I got to chase B all the time. So that's the first scenario. And by the way, I'm getting carried away talking too long, probably on each topic, but I really am passionate about it. But as long as you're chasing A and you think A is going to be your happiness, you're sort of going to be lost. Now there's, or B, I mean, there's nothing wrong with B's. B's are great. It's your relationship with B. So that's the first thing, is shifting the focus from the result to focusing on the process in your current life experience. That's the first thing. The second thing you mentioned, we'll go to mindfulness first. So mindfulness kind of fits along with that. Mindfulness is the ability to be in the present moment. And it's very much like focusing on the A. And so my mind was always oriented towards the future, you know? And so mindfulness, what I started to learn about mindfulness is the power of the present moment, which is the only time life is happening is right now in the present moment. And when your mind's always wondering about the past or the future, going back and forth, what happened, what might happen, you end up really not being in life at all. And so that's the second part of what we do after the paradigm, is the value of the present moment and training the brain to be there. Because once you realize, hey, the present moment's important, that's where life can only happen right now, that's the first part. The second part is it's very hard to train the mind to be there because it wants to wander all the time. So that's the second part. The third part is meditation, which really helps with that. You mentioned it. So once in the way we train on meditation is mindfulness-based meditation primarily, which is simply just going through a daily mental exercise of training your mind to focus on what you want it to focus on. as opposed to it running around going crazy, doing whatever it wants to do. And then the fourth one, you know, it's probably my favorite, is emotions. So I don't know about you, but most people I know, and certainly me, I was never taught what is happening internally. What is an emotion? Why is it there? And how should I respond to it? So it would take me 20 minutes just to talk about that, so I'll leave it at that. But those four things, paradigm, mindfulness, meditation, and how you, you know, what are emotions, how do you respond to them, those are the four elements that create this brain balance, which changes the way we're perceiving the external world.
Yeah, I mean, I go back to you talking about always thinking about the future, and it's funny, that really explains me to a T, and meditation is the one thing that has helped me overcome that. And I still go in and out of moments. And I'll never forget when somebody had said to me, and it was probably one of the best things they ever said to me, was you need to find 15 minutes a day to meditate. And if you can't find 15 minutes a day to meditate, you should be meditating for 30 minutes a day. And I was like, you know, okay, let me try this. And I actually had a good enough friend who actually would call me and say, did you meditate yet? And I would spend 5 minutes just going and meditate after that phone call with that person. And he really did help me start to impose it on my life, because I was, once again, either thinking I didn't need it, or I was thinking about the future and I couldn't control just sitting down and actually just focusing on the now. So that really touches home with me a lot, because that really is how I think. I'm always looking into the future. I'm not someone, I never dwell on the past. It's probably why, you know, I think I've had some success in futures trading. I feel like I heal quickly. Losers, although we don't want to have them, they don't tend to bother me as much. I kind of just know that, you know, it's part of the business. I'm able to get over them quickly, and I've always been able to focus on process over results, and that has also helped me. But I think that the one thing that to this day that I need to work on pretty much every day is to stay in the now, and I find myself when I'm not meditating that I really do stray away from that. And really, I could touch base on all the ones that you talked about, but like you said, we could be on this phone call for hours. But I want to talk about traders that are under pressure. They always feel pressure to perform, and this is something I really want to discuss with you. I think that so many traders put so much pressure on themselves to perform, and probably more than any other business. Because obviously if you don't perform on a day in and day out basis, you're out of business. And I find that to be very similar to what athletes are. So when I saw that you were doing speaking with athletes, I'm like, I've always compared what traders do to athletes, because I think that, you know, when the lights are on as a athlete, you have to perform. And for traders, the lights are on every day, because if you fail to perform, like I said, you're going to be out of business, and it can happen quickly. You know, same within pro sports. You can go down the tubes really quick. But if you sit there and you can focus and you could do what you know you could do, then you can have really great success. So my question is, do you see similarities between traders and pro athletes? And also talk about the differences. I don't want to just know about the similarities. I'd also like to know some of the differences that you see between us.
Yeah, a lot of similarities, and you touched on a couple of them. It's all about your performance and what have you done for me lately. You have to be performing all the time, and the transparency of your performance. Obviously, there's a difference in transparency, and that, you know, most traders don't have, you know, thousands, sometimes millions of people watching and everybody criticizing you. It's obvious there's a lot of transparency in that your results are very obvious and you feel them. And both for pro athletes and trading, the results have direct financial implications. So I see a ton of parallel there. And you started off with, you know, how can you help people, because, you know, people putting so much pressure on themselves. And it really goes back to those four elements. When you start doing the four elements, then you realize, hey, my results matter. You know, ultimately, if you can't get trading results, or you can't get results on the field or the court or on the baseball field, you're not going to be in that sport. And so those results matter, but putting the focus on the process as opposed to the results, and sort of detaching somewhat from the results. And this is very much what Phil Jackson, how he coached. It's very much how John Wooden coached, you know, the greatest really winners of all time in terms of championships in pro and college sports. So that helps a lot when you can do that. And the mindfulness and the meditation training helps that to happen. it's one thing to say, hey, I want to be in the present moment, I want to focus on the process. But if your automatic brain is all not cooperating, you're going to have a hard time doing this. That's why you have to do the mental work. Otherwise, this is just theory that your brain will not let you practice. And the other thing I think that's huge, Anthony, is that, you know, I touched on emotions, and I hate to even bring it up because it's such a deep topic. But when people learn, and we have a little acronym we call C, which is to separate, embrace, evaluate. When you start changing your relationship to with emotions from I'm trying to chase good ones and avoid bad ones to emotions are messages. They're messages trying to help me, trying to keep me productive and safe. So when I feel bad about bad performance or good about an apparent good performance, that's just a message. I want to hear, take the message in, let it pass, and then get back to an even keel into a mindful flow state outside of emotion. That's what we're looking to do with pro athletes and traders, or really any person. And that's what this C concept helps you do. If I feel, you know, disappointment or anger from a bad performance, a bad trade, instead of suppressing it or getting lost in it, I just separate. I got a chemical transmission, actually a neurotransmitter transmission in my brain. That's making me feel this way. It's trying to help me, so I want to embrace and totally feel that. And that allows it to pass through you, get the message, and then evaluate. You know, what at the end of the day, when things happen, no matter how you feel, it's what are you going to do? And for most of us, we don't have that clarity of thought because the emotion clouds that. That's why most of us can give great advice. We can't keep ourselves because we are so attached to the emotion and living the emotion. So that would be my recommendation for people that are in a high-pressure situation. And a lot of it, again, you got to take it from theory to training. You know, it's like you could say, here's how you get stronger physically, but that really doesn't matter if you don't do the work to get stronger physically, and the same is true mentally.
Yeah, I mean, once again, hitting home with me. We've talked a lot about, you know, mindset today. And I think the one question that everybody is probably sitting out there asking at this moment is, how can I improve my mindset? What would your advice be to them?
Yeah, you know, I think the big thing is get into, you know, start learning about mindfulness, but the power of the present moment. Start learning about meditation and figure out some sort of meditative mindfulness sort of practice. You might have weird feelings about it. I would sort of get over that and just look at the science behind it and what's happening in professional sports. I mean, you look at what the Cubs are doing, and they're, you know, the Atlanta Falcons, who we work with, also the Seattle Seahawks and the Golden State Warriors. I mean, a lot of elite teams using mindfulness and meditation to go a whole nother level. Plus, if you just, again, look at all the scientific research, I mean, it is absolutely very powerful. And then I think it's, you know, learning how to, you know, have a different relationship with your emotions, the things we've been talking about. As you start to develop an interest and a curiosity about these mental skills, and there's a lot of information out there, I think that's what's going to make the difference. And of course, we believe in our apps, that we created exactly for everything that we're talking about. And we tried to create it in a way for people who don't know what meditation and mindfulness are, but who have tried it and struggled. So really building it for people that, to get them from where they are now to where they can develop this mental strength really in 30 to 60 days.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, just going back to my own personal stuff, because that's what, you know, I can relate to the most in mindset and how much it's helped me by doing meditation. I can't say enough about what it's done for me over the years now. And I really took it on a lot harder, I would say, maybe about 3 years ago. But prior to that, I did like very mini, you know, I would say mini mindset or mini meditation sessions with myself, where I would just take a 5-minute break, breathe, not think about anything, walk away when trading. And I can't really say how much that really helped me deal with, you know, just all the ups and downs of it. You know, for me growing as a trader, being able to trade multiple hundreds of contracts, I know that it went through, it was very challenging for me mentally. And in order for me to grow, I had to really rein in my mindset And, you know, like I said, this really touched home with me today. Russ, I mean, fantastic insight. Now, before I let you go, is there anything else that you'd like to add to what we spoke about today? Did we miss anything?
You know, I can't think of anything other than, you know, the one thing I would leave people with, especially if you're already in a meditative practice, that is fantastic. But when you add the other elements, you know, that's when we find that mindset really kicks in. Because ultimately, no matter what you're doing, again, for us, the litmus test is how are you experiencing a typical day? Keep finding those ways to change the mindset to where, and again, we're not trying to feel good all the time. We're not trying to eliminate stress and monotony. That's all part of life. And all of that's very helpful when used in the right way. There's no reason why, you know, we can't enjoy life a lot more than we are.
Where should our listeners go to check out Vision Pursue?
If you're looking just straight for the consumer app, just go to the App Store, search Vision Pursue on the App Store, and you can find us on Google or Apple. And then on the consumer or the commercial side, just hit us through the link on the website and you can get a hold of us there and we can talk about what the pricing is for organization.
And that's visionpursue.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So everybody, here's what I'm going to do is I have not done this yet. I have been waiting to speak with Russ before I did this, and I am going to go to the store, get the app, and I'm going to spend 60 days working on what Vision Pursue has to offer on the app. And hopefully Russ will come back and I want to discuss how these 60 days have went for me once I begin it. So Russ, if you're willing to do that, I think it would be something to be very interesting to talk about.
Yes, listen, I would love to do it. And by the way, Anthony, you're going to be doing that almost at the exact same time of a lot of professional athletes and coaches with the teams we're working with, because we're in high gear doing that right now before they go into their summer break. So you'll be with some good company as you're going through the process and the program.
Awesome. I look forward to it. And I challenge everybody out there in the audience as well to spend time working on your mindset. I think that it's so imperative that we do this in our industry. And I know that I feel as a trader, I'm always trying to get better. I feel like there's always room for growth. We talked about it from the beginning in search for, I said, pursuit of happiness. And in this business, the trading world, we talked about the pressures today and how they could really pile up on you. And it's so important to always stay ahead of these things and to be able to really focus on balance in life. And I am really, really excited to begin this journey with Vision Pursue. And when I get the chance to speak to Russ in 60 days from when I begin it, I got a little bit of traveling ahead of me, but we'll set up a date and then I'm going to go over this with Russ and we're going to discuss, you know, how I feel it has benefited me. So Russ, thank you again so much for coming on Futures Radio Show today. I really appreciate it and I look forward to speaking with you soon.
Hey, thanks for having me, Anthony. Take care and we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.